And welcome to Money Talks. It's Jerry Sluzewitz, Craig Brock, talking about money in the markets. We're in our second segment of the day. Today is Wednesday, the 18th of September. Markets are fairly flat. S&P is really doing nothing, down less than 1 point. Dow's down around 20. NASDAQ up, apparently. Waiting for the Fed announcement. This is going to be a big announcement of the day. Very important to protect yourself in this kind of environment. If you've got any questions, you can always call my office, 1-800-449-9501. Set up that personal financial planning review. Be glad to look at your portfolio, give you some advice. The call is free. The review is free. It's with great pleasure this morning that I bring you Barbara Friedberg as our guest. She's portfolio manager, former university finance lecturer, author of How to Get Rich, Wealth Building Guide for the Financially Illiterate, and publisher of the internationally known Barbara Friedberg Personal Finance website. Barbara, welcome to Your Money Talks.
Hi, Jerry. Thanks so much for having me, and hi, Craig, as well.
Good morning.
Barbara, I love your guide because, you know, even professionals sometimes are in the market going, gosh, how do we understand this market? And it's good to have someone like yourself that really has written the book that's available on Amazon.com, How to Get Rich, Wealth Building Guide for the Financially Illiterate, because we all become a little financially illiterate in this kind of environment. Big day today, Barbara, with the Fed meeting. I mean, this is huge. What's going to happen to portfolios if the Fed cuts back on their toxic asset bond buying programs today?
Well, there's two sides to it. One is the reality, the other is the psychological. In reality, what will happen, if not today, over the next several months, interest rates are going to trend upwards. And that's going to have a ripple effect through the economy. Your savers are going to be wonderfully happy because they can finally get some returns on their CDs or their savings accounts. People who hold bond funds, though, they're not going to be happy because as interest rates go up, they're going to see the value of their bond funds go down a little bit.
Barbara, you touched on one of my hot point subjects. You said bond funds, and that is really an amazing thing. As an author and a finance lecturer, many financial advisors spend a lot of time talking about how bonds are good for seniors and that they have sometimes a little bit more overweighted on the bond side because it's considered less risky. But they'll talk about bonds and they'll talk about bonds and they'll talk about bonds, and then they put them in a bond mutual fund. What is the difference between bonds and bond mutual funds?
Well, a bond, an individual bond, has an end date. So at the term or the maturity of the bond, you get the face value back, which is usually $1,000. So look, interest rates go up, the value of your bond goes down. It doesn't really matter because when the bond comes due, you get $1,000 back. But with a bond fund, there is no maturity date, and then you are stuck because when interest rates go up, the value of your bond fund is going to go down. And so right now, bondholders need to be prepared, and particularly long bond fund holders need to be aware that when those interest rates go up, the value of your bond fund will trend down.
Yeah, and you think if the Fed starts cutting back on this $85 billion asset purchase program that you call toxic, which I want to get to in a minute, you think interest rates could potentially rise?
Well, interest rates will definitely rise. If not now, if not tomorrow, if not next month, they're going to go up because they're at a 100-year low, and they just will not stay this low. And there's a couple of other factors that I need to kind of point out, which is not only are your bonds going to be impacted, but the stock market as well. The stock market moves both on psychology and on realistic profitability and economic variables. And the psychology is investors get scared. And there's a lot of fear that when interest rates start going up, inflation will start to go up. And that can and possibly even profitability of corporations may go down. And that may spook investors a little, thus causing them to sell their stocks and cause a bit of a downturn in the stock market. So this Fed funds meeting today is likely, either realistically, no matter what they say, there will probably be an impact. If they don't cut down the bond buying program now, but they discuss when they might kind of cut it back, there's going to be an impact because markets like stability. And whenever there's uncertainty or change, your bond market, your stock market will have a reaction.
Right. Instead of seeing the light at the end of the tunnel, might be the wall at the end of the tunnel. They're going to see an end date, you kind of think, no matter what they announce today, whether it's today or soon on this asset bond buying program. You call it toxic. Why do you call this the $85 billion Fed quantitative easing, as it's known, as being toxic?
Well, because what the Fed is doing, remember several years ago, the mortgage meltdown, and there were a lot of securities sold that held subprime mortgages, which were, and then the underlying mortgages, they failed. So those assets came worth a whole lot less. And their value dropped so low, and the Fed stepped in order to circumvent the possibility of a depression and started buying those assets up. And so they're called toxic because there are a lot of the government assets hold the bonds that the government is buying are comprised of a lot of defaulted mortgages. And that's why they're called toxic.
Now, they took it from the private sector and put it on the public sector or the government sector. You listen to Your Money Talks with Jerry Sluice with Craig Brock. We have Barbara Friedberg. She is a portfolio manager, a finance lecturer, and the author of How to Get Rich, Wealth Building Guide for the Financially Illiterate. It's available on Amazon.com. Now, you talked about higher interest rates and how it could affect adversely bonds and stocks. I know Craig has some questions about how that might affect real estate as well.
You bet. Thank you very much, Jerry. And it's great to have you with us this morning, Barbara. Here at Rancho Financial, of course, we're watching this 10-year Treasury yield and the MBS yield all day long. We have mortgage rates that have increased about 100 basis points since 3 months ago, but we still only have 3 months of inventory in California. Some people are calling this a bubble, but I just don't see it. What's your opinion?
You know, I was listening to your last segment as well, and I don't think it's a bubble yet either, because a bubble means that assets are overvalued. And we had such a drop in asset prices here in California over the past few years that I think, if anything, the real estate inventory has kind of gotten to fair value. So I think interest rates still have room to go up a bit without crowding out the option for buyers to get a fair price on their mortgage and on their home.
And Barbara, just a couple of weeks ago, we had some news out where the super jumbo mortgage rates fell below the average conventional rates. Now, this is the first time that this has ever happened, where this has surprised just about everyone. What is your take on what the banks are doing? Do you believe that maybe they've been holding back when money was at 1.5%, they couldn't make anything on it? Now the fact that it's at 3%, well, just about 3% on the 10-year Treasury, the banks are starting to get a little bit more aggressive because there's some yield to be made?
Absolutely. I think that's a very good take, because when a bank makes a loan at 1.5%, that's the return that they're going to get on that money, and they know it's low, and they'd rather maybe wait a little while for interest rates to trend up, and then, as you recommended, then start lending the money at higher rates so the banks can increase their profitability. And actually, there is some research suggesting that that, in fact, is true, and that's also one of the catalysts for why the Fed has kind of held this bond buying program for so long, because part of their desire was to get banks to lend more, and banks weren't lending as readily as the Fed had hoped, even after having their toxic assets bought by the Fed.
Now, Barbara, here's kind of a curveball, and the scenario in some areas, such as Escondido, is that home values have increased almost 50% over the last 2.5 years. I mean, this is a measurable increase. Do you believe that maybe we do need some taper so we can slow this train down to maybe create more of an equalized market for home buyers?
Now, let me ask you for a little clarification on your question, Craig. When you say taper, do you mean a little bit of a raise in interest rates or I'm not quite sure what you're saying when you ask that question.
Yeah, we've already had an increase of 1%, and of course, if they taper, they would go a little bit higher. So maybe that's what I'm alluding to. If rates go a little bit higher, that might create some new opportunity for others that have been on the fence, and maybe the inventory goes from 3 months to possibly 4.5 or even 6 months, which might still be healthy.
I do agree, and I think part of the controversy here on this entire issue is the question between letting market forces drive the market or the external impact of decisions on the Fed on interest rates. And I think what you're saying, Craig, is let market forces work a little bit. Let the interest rates trend up, and so possibly that will allow prices to fall a little bit and subsequently let other buyers in and cut back a little bit on the bidding wars. And so, yes, I do think a raise in interest rates to a more normal level will help the real estate market a bit.
That's the argument.
One last quick question here. Last week we spoke about Susie Orman, who mentioned that if you have 10% down and you have 8 months of reserves in the bank to cover your living expenses, getting out and buying a home isn't such a bad thing. Would you agree with that?
I absolutely would agree, with the caveat that owning a home isn't for everyone. But if you're someone that plans on staying in your home for a good 5 years or so, and you want to put money towards a mortgage instead of to rent, now is a very good time to do so.
That's the argument about this whole tapering thing, is let market forces determine where interest rates are, and let's stop the Fed from, you know, basically facilitating it. In other words, an example would be take the training wheels off and let the kid ride the bike on two wheels. And that's the economy. Let's take the training wheels off. Let's stop the Fed from doing this asset purchase, and let's continue and see how the economy reacts to it. It might be negative at first with higher interest rates. It might adversely affect the stocks and bonds. But Barbara, again, I want to go to your book, How to Get Rich, Wealth Building Guide for the Financially Illiterate. It seems to me that you and I might share similar backgrounds. You know, I had parents who really had the idea about money and savings and budgeting and investing and things like that. And I watched them, and I thought everybody's parents were like that. But you wrote this book saying, for those who don't have a smart mom or dad or friend or spouse or mentor, that you're filling the role with your book. Tell us more.
Absolutely, Jerry. Getting rich is not rocket science. Look, I'm not talking about getting rich quick, but I'm talking about building lifetime wealth so that when you get to, you know, your retirement or your later years or college, you have hundreds of thousands of dollars there. And you do that one step at a time by living intelligently, by diverting your part of your paycheck into your retirement savings account every pay period, by being mindful that you're spending on things that really are important to you, not spending on the newest phone every year just because your friends do, but making sure you're getting you're spending consciously and getting value for how you spend, that you're saving, that you're living below your means, and that you're really thinking about your money decisions. My book gives you 8 steps from getting out of debt to buying a house or an apartment to what type of insurance do you need, and takes you through these steps. You do those, and then the idea is you can get on with your life. You're not stressed out about having a lot of money problems or worrying because you've got your life on a plan that is going to make you rich.
Barbara, again, excellent advice. We are getting low on time, so one more minute if you could. But a lot of people, you mentioned live below your means. A lot of people don't have that concept. They want to live beyond their means and hope that they figure out a way to make more money later. How do you change that mentality?
It's got to be a personal choice. And we all make our own decisions. And this is a time when hopefully my book can motivate and inspire someone and educate them that once you figure out personally what's really important to you, the other stuff, the superfluous spending, the extravagances, they fall away. And you're putting your money and your life towards the things that give you the most pleasure. And realize that nobody can have it all. So life is about choices. Make the smart money choices that are going to end up with you being rich.
Yeah, nobody can have it all, but if you scrimp and save a little bit, you could probably have more. And that's the concept people just don't get, Barbara. Hey, Barbara, I know you also have your Barbara Friedberg personal finance website. Tell us how somebody gets a hold of you.
All you have to do is Google Barbara Friedberg personal finance. Hop on over to my website. There's a contact form there. You can email me. Additionally, I will offer all of your listeners, if they subscribe to my Wealth Tips newsletter, a free 20-minute guide to investing. It's a wonderful book that will get you started on the basics of investing. So please stop by Barbara Friedberg Personal Finance.
Friedberg is F-R-I-D-B-E-R-G, Barbara Friedberg
Personal
Finance.
Well, actually, Terry, it's F-R-I-E-D-E-D.
And that's me looking right on a piece of paper, Barbara. That's what I was talking about, financially illiterate sometimes. Yeah, F-R-I-E-D-B-E-R-G, and I was looking right at it, just going too fast. Barbara Friedberg, thank you for being with us today. We'd love to have you back. You listen to Your Money Talks here on the Bloomberg Network. Craig Brock, Jerry Sluiswitz. Stay with us. We'll be right back after these messages.